So I'm going to read from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 5, Narada's instructions on Srimad Bhagavatam. Text 32. Etat sam sucitam brahmam stapatraya chikitsitam yadishre bhagavati kara brahmani bhavitam. O Brahman of Vyasadeva, it is decided by the learned that the best remedial measure for removing all troubles and miseries is to dedicate one's activities to the service of the Supreme Lord Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Sri Narada Muni generally experienced that the most feasible and practical way to open the path of salvation or to get relief from all miseries of life is to hear submissively the transcendental activities of the Lord from the right and bona fide sources. This is the only remedial process. The entire material existence is full of miseries. Foolish people have manufactured out of their tiny brains many remedial measures for removing the threefold miseries pertaining to the body and mind, pertaining to the natural disturbances, and in relation with other living beings. The whole world is struggling very hard to exist out of these miseries, but men do not know that without the sanction of the Lord, no plan or remedial measure can actually bring about the desired peace and tranquility. The remedial measure to cure a patient by medical treatment is useless if it is not sanctioned by the Lord. To cross the river or an ocean by a suitable boat is no remedial measure if it is not sanctioned by the Lord. We should know for certain that the Lord is the ultimate sanctioning officer, and we must therefore dedicate our attempts to the mercy of the Lord for the ultimate success, or to get rid of the obstacles in the path to success. The Lord is all-pervading, all-powerful, omniscient, and omnipresent. He is the ultimate sanctioning agent of all good or bad effects. We should therefore learn to dedicate our activities unto the mercy of the Lord and accept Him either as impersonal Brahman, localized Paramatma, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It does not matter what one is. One must dedicate everything in the service of the Lord. If one is a learned scholar, scientist, philosopher, poet, etc., then he should employ his learning to establish the supremacy of the Lord. Try to study the energy of the Lord in every sphere of life. Do not decry Him and try to become like Him or take His position simply by fragmental accumulation of knowledge. If one is an administrator, statesman, warrior, politician, etc., then one should try to establish the Lord's supremacy in statesmanship. Fight for the cause of the Lord as Sri Arjuna did. In the beginning, Sri Arjuna, the great fighter, declined to fight, but when he was convinced by the Lord that the fighting was necessary, Sri Arjuna changed his decision and fought for his cause. Similarly, if one is a businessman, an industrialist, an agriculturalist, etc., then one should spend his hard-earned money for the cause of the Lord. Think always that the money which is accumulated is the wealth of the Lord. Wealth is considered to be the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, and the Lord is Narayan, or the husband of Lakshmi. Try to engage Lakshmi in the service of Lord Narayan and be happy. That is the way to realize the Lord in every sphere of life. The best thing is, after all, to get relief from all material activities and engage oneself completely in hearing the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. But in the case of the absence of such opportunity, one should try to engage in the service of the Lord everything for which one has specific attraction, and that is the way of peace and prosperity. The word samsuchitam in this stanza is also significant. One should not think for a moment that the realization of Narada is childish imagination only. It is not like that. It is so realized by the expert and erudite scholars, and that is the real import of the word samsuchitam. Etat samsuchitam brahmam stapatraya chikitsitam Yadishvari Bhagavati Karma Brahmani Bhavitam. O Brahman of Yathadev, it is decided by the learned that the best remedial measure for removing all troubles and miseries is to dedicate one's activities to the service of the Supreme Lord, Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Namo Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthaya Buddha Srimate Bhakti Vidanta Swami Tenamane Namaste Sarasatam Deva Gauravani Pacharne Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskatya De Satarna. The process of becoming Krishna conscious is explained in this verse, that factually everything is Krishna's energy, and presently under the material influence we're thinking something other than that. As Krishna has explained in the Bhagavad Gita, Satvan Rupa Sarvasha Shadhad Bhavati Bhavata Sharoma Yo Yam Purusha Yo Yat Sharas Evasaha. That under the three modes of material nature, a person has a particular conception of life. That is, our general experience, our general conception of life, is not our real conception of life, it's just the conception of life we've acquired due to our contact with the three modes of material nature. In other words, we've taken birth in a material body, and along with the birth came a particular conception of life, a particular experience, a way of seeing things, a way of experiencing things, a certain culture we were born into. But that's not our real personality, it's not our real conception of life. But if we act according to the present conception of life we've acquired, the only result will be we'll acquire another conception of life. Therefore, in order to change our present conception of life, to purify it, to elevate it, it's recommended here that we should utilize whatever we have in the service of Krishna. Srila Rupa Goswami has said something similar in his Nectar of Instruction. He said, Tanama Rupachari Tanama Rupachari Tari Sakirtananu Smrityo Kramena Rasanamanasi Nyoja Tishtan Raja Tanuragi Jananugami Kalamnaya Akilami Tividesha Saram. That the essence of all advice is that one should utilize one's full time 24 hours a day and nicely hearing about and chanting about the Lord's divine name, transcendental form, qualities, pastimes, etc. In this way, one should gradually engage one's tongue and the mind. One should live in Braj, Galoka, and serve Krishna under the guidance of the Lord's devotees. One should follow in the footsteps of the Lord's beloved devotees who are deeply attached to his divine service. So this is certainly the essence of all Srila Rupa Goswami's advice. But the point is, not so easy to suddenly come to our transcendental conception of life, although we should try for it. And by trying for it, even if we get a little glimpse of that transcendental atmosphere, that will certainly attract us to get more and more glimpses of that transcendental atmosphere. Transcendental atmosphere is simply one of unalloyed sweetness, unalloyed loving feelings of all the residents of Vrindavan, including even Krishna himself. It's not that Krishna thinks himself to be God in Vrindavan. He thinks himself to be the servant of all his devotees. And God himself, he saw much into the serving attitude that when he sees that the greatest service attitude is possessed by Srimati Radharani, then he desires to come here as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or in his place in Goloka and Navadvipa. He desires to become a servant of God. So God wants to become a servant. And here we've come here and acquired a conception where we want to become God. So that's the difference between ourselves and God. God wants to be a servant, and we want to be God. Therefore, the essence is to hear about Krishna, especially in the beginning, as Prabhupada explains in the purport, that currently our conception of life is just a combination of everything we've experienced in the material world, which is more or less has been a waste of time. So whatever our current conception of life is with this material identity, it's not very important. But whatever it is, and according to the Vana Ashram, everyone has a certain tendency, then certainly we should utilize in the service of Krishna. That in itself, a particular activity will actually have no value. Just like 5 billion lifetimes of Brahma ago, it may have been a very important person, but who cares about that person now? Who even knows where he is? Or even, you know, 5 lifetimes ago. Who knows about who we were, what we were doing? Although everything seemed very important at that time, practically speaking, we were very much concerned with all the details of our existence then. But now it's forgotten about. Now we're in this existence. And this existence will be very soon forgotten about, and we'll be in another existence. But the real existence is Krishna consciousness. Therefore, somehow or another, by dovetailing, by utilizing our existence, present existence in Krishna's service, that the result will be, we'll gain an attraction to hear about Krishna. And why do we gain an attraction? Because by hearing about Krishna, we can actually associate with Krishna. And by learning how to associate with Krishna with a spiritual attitude, then the result is we'll be able to experience what Krishna consciousness is. And that will attract us on and on to progressively try to become more and more absorbed in that particular consciousness called Krishna consciousness. That there's a certain type of intelligence we can cultivate, devotional intelligence. That devotional intelligence begins with a spiritual conception of life. Now we've been trained up, unfortunately, in the present materialistic conception of life, which is quite all-pervasive and becoming ever more pervasive in modern society, all based upon more or less complete imagination, movies, television, videos, internet, newspapers. And it's very hard not to get caught up, you know, thinking, you know, what's going to happen in Iraq, rather than what did Krishna eat for lunch today. People are completely caught up, you know, what President Bush is going to do, or what Mr. Hussein Saddam will do. But actually it doesn't matter what they do. Whatever they do, we know what their destination will be. They've already more or less, they have a one-way ticket to you know where. But by hearing about their pastimes, it may be important in case we're thinking of traveling to Iraq. It may be interesting to know. But other than that, it's not very important for our actual spiritual development. What is important is that somehow or another we acquire a different conception of life, a spiritual conception, a practical spiritual conception of life, where we can not only theoretically understand a little bit how everyone is Krishna's servant, but it can actually be realized that everyone is Krishna's servant, that everyone is a spirit soul being conducted by the three modes of material nature, and that everyone has an opportunity to utilize their energies in Krishna's service, but the result will be is that they can actually realize Krishna, even in this lifetime, just by hearing about him. Nothing else has to be done except for hearing. In the beginning, hearing the basic things and beginning to realize them, how we're actually not this body, which is quite an elevated position to understand that, how we're not this body of the mind, that we're actually a spiritual being, and that everyone is a spiritual being. So actually there's nothing that anyone really has to worry about, because everyone is eternal. Everyone is by nature full of bliss. The only problem is that we're worried about things other than that. That's our only problem. So that may seem strange that we have no problem except for the fact that we're worrying about all our imaginary problems. But that problem can be taken care of just by hearing the reality. And then gradually, whether we know it or not, gradually the reality will become revealed to us just by hearing about it. And then one day we'll realize that we have no problem whatsoever because we're all eternal. Therefore we have no problem what happens to this body because we're not the body. The body is just another dream we have for this lifetime. And we have no problem because we're by nature full of bliss. We're already full of bliss. It's just that we've come in contact with this body and we're serving it, and therefore our natural bliss has been diminished in contact with this body and mind. And we're by nature full of awareness. We by nature know that everyone is eternal and full of Krishna and full of bliss and servant of Krishna. So this hearing process will begin to allow us to develop our spiritual conception of life, and therefore that should lead to a devotional way of doing things. a devotional way of seeing things, a devotional way of thinking about things. And as Krishna says, tad buddhiyas, tad atmanas, tad nishtas, tad parayana, gajatnya punar arvitim, gyane nirduta kalmasha. One's faith, mind, and refuge are all fixed in the Supreme. Then one becomes cleansed of all misgivings through complete knowledge, and thus proceeds straight on the path of liberation. Then we can come to the platform of actually being able to, Krishna will give us more and more intelligence, how to realize Krishna everywhere for all time, especially in sound vibration. So that's the art of learning how to hear properly. Because we're hearing, but we're hearing usually according to our past conceptions of life. Therefore, when we hear a word, it reminds us simply what we've done in the past. But when we hear about Krishna, for instance, this nice story, which I usually say, when Krishna, this is the 35th chapter now in the Krishna book, when Krishna, the gopis of Vrindavan were so attached to Krishna that they were not satisfied simply with the rasa dance at night. They wanted to, associate with him and enjoy his company during the daytime also. When Krishna went to the forest, with his cowherd boys and the cows, the gopis could not physically take part, but their hearts went with him. And because their hearts went, they were able to enjoy his company through strong feelings of separation. To acquire the strong feeling of separation is the teachings of Lord Chaitanya and his direct disciple succession of Goswamis. When we are not in physical contact with Krishna, we can also associate with him through strong feelings of separation. Krishna's transcendental form, quality, pastimes, and entourage are all identical with him. There are 9 different kinds of devotional service, and devotional service to Krishna and feelings of separation elevates the devotee to the highest devotional perfection, to the level of the gopis. It is stated in the prayers of Srinivasacharya to the 6 Goswamis that they gave up their princely status and their material opulence and went to Vrindavan where they lived like ordinary mendicants begging from door to door. But they were so much enriched with the gopis' feelings of separation that they enjoyed transcendental bliss at every moment. Similarly, when Lord Chaitanya was at Jagannath Puri, he was also in the mood of Radharani, feeling separation from Krishna. Those in the Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya should also feel the separation of Krishna, worship his transcendental form, discuss his transcendental teachings, his entourage, his associates. The spiritual master should elevate the devotees to the highest devotional perfection, feeling constant separation from Krishna while engaged in devotional service is the perfection of Krishna consciousness. So this is our avenue by which we can come to the platform of directly associating with Krishna even in this lifetime through feelings of separation. And that feeling of separation comes from Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya, that's his whole existence, is feeling constant separation from Vrindavan. And therefore he was deeply absorbed in living in Vrindavan in that feeling of separation. And those who associate with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they have that opportunity to associate directly with Krishna in Vrindavan through the feelings of separation. And to get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to get his association, we have to go through Lord Nityananda. And to go through Lord Nityananda, we have to go through the present disciple succession, by which we can perform the service of Lord Nityananda, especially as Prabhupada said, preaching to others to help them understand that their real goal in life is to become conscious of Krishna, through themselves also participating in the Sankirtan movement. So if we try to our best we can to help people participate in the Sankirtan movement, therefore we'll get the mercy of the disciple succession coming up through the 6 Goswamis, coming up through the Panchatattva, through Lord Nityananda, and then we'll be able to associate with Lord Chaitanya in the mood of separation and enter with the actual loving mood into the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Because we can meditate on the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, that is not easy, but that won't be successful either. We won't get the full benefit unless we're in the same mood as the Panchatattva. That is the mood of separation, as Prabhupada describes. Still, we should learn how to meditate, not only the past sense of Krishna, we should learn how to meditate on every word within the scriptures and try to see through them, try to see what they're saying, because hearing means to see. Unless we can actually hear, see what we've heard, we actually haven't heard anything. Seeing means to understand. And then, if we have actually understood it by seeing it, then we'll be able to apply it within our lives. And if we apply it within our lives in service to Krishna, then the result is Krishna will give us the full, the realization of what it actually means, and means that we'll be able to see Krishna within everything. Whatever we heard theoretically, whatever we tried to see theoretically, whatever we applied within our lives dedicated to Krishna, that will bring us to the platform of experiencing Krishna. And the result is that one will become very much interested in hearing until one comes to the platform that just by hearing one will simultaneously see and experience. And that's the highest level of Krishna consciousness. Just by hearing, one will actually see and experience directly. So Prabhupada divides, for instance, the Krishna book into three different stages. The first part, he says, everyone will become attracted to hearing about Krishna. The materialist will be attracted because it appears to be nice stories between young boys and young girls. But if they hear from the right source with the right attitude, then the result is they'll also be benefited. And the second class devotee, by hearing Krishna book, they'll become enlightened and enlivened, and the path to Krishna consciousness will be realized by them. They'll be able to understand what they have to do to make progress towards becoming the first class devotee or the Paramahansa, where by hearing they'll be able to see and also experience simultaneously. So we may take a while, but we're trying to hear, and then we're trying to understand that there should be a process by which we try to see what we've heard within our own lives, how it applies to us, and then try to apply it, and that will lead us to the realization of devotion. Actually, all we have to do is chant Hare Krishna with love, but that may take some time to understand how to chant Hare Krishna with love and feeling. But gradually, if we apply the process properly, that will be understood. That's all we really have to do. And then everything else will be accomplished. Because in the spiritual world, the only thing that's really going on is love. It's not like they're producing, you know, as Prabhupada used to say, there's no factories there. They're not even, you know, farming is not a big business there. It's not a, Nanda Maharaj is not a big agriculturalist and agrarian farmer. And he's making a big living, you know, supplying milk and other products to the Mathura. No, the only thing that's really producing there is transcendental love and affection between everyone there. So that's all we really have to do here. That's what makes everything spiritual here. But in order to do that, we have certain energies, and we have to apply those in the service of that particular goal. That is prema pumartha mahant. And that will be realized. Or as one devotee said, to finish what I just said, Haradyo Bhagavan Vrajeshas Tanuta Dhamma Vrindarana Ramna Kinchit Vrajavadu Vardena Vakalpitaha Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam Prema Pumarthamahan Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhur Vatamidam Tatradayanapara. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is his teachings. That Krishna is a little coward boy in Vrindavan, the son of Nanda Maharaj. He's our worshipable deity, the person who's full of loving feelings and affection for everyone. And his land of Vrindavan, full of loving devotees, everyone there is full of love and affection. That's also worshipable for us. And that's the Krishna we're talking about, the little boy who lives there. And in order to worship Krishna, there's no better example than that of the gopis, who dedicate everything just to please Krishna. In order to learn about the gopis, we have to go through the first night, all the cantos of the Bhagavatam. That will give us the understanding of how to love in the same way the gopis love Krishna. And the goal is prema pumartha mahan, to revive that natural love that we have for Krishna and for everyone. And this is the whole teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thank you. Any questions? Comments? Bird on the
Hare Ball.
Hare Krishna. Anything else?
Thank you.
Other Jack or Shreen?
Can you tell us another story?
Another story?
That's so nice.
Another story from the Krishna book. Oh, we'll tell one of those pastimes. When Krishna was seen walk on the bank of the Jamuna, he was seen nicely decorated with tilak on his forehead, and he was garlanded with different types of forest flowers. The bumblebees became mad after the treasure and sweet nectar of the atmosphere, and being pleased by the humming sound of the bees, Krishna began to blow upon his flute, and the sound became so sweet, so nice to hear, sweet to hear, that the aquatic birds like the ducks, cranes and the swans became stunned. They stopped swimming and flying, and they enter into a trance of meditation and worship of Krishna. So that's very nice to just visualize that.
Then what happened? Because they entered into a trance and they stopped flying. Did they just like?
I guess so. Then Krishna and Balaram were seen walking when Krishna and Balaram on the top of Govardhan Hill, the clouds stopped the fearing. They were playing on the flute. The clouds stopped their thundering out of fear of Krishna. The clouds and Krishna are considered to be friends because they both have the same bodily complexion. And the clouds showered not rain upon Krishna, but small flowers to protect him from the scorching heat of the sun. That's what happened next. Goes on and on. Krishna has many thousands of cows, and he calls them according. There are all 108 different colors, 108 different types of cows, and he divides them up according to their different groups. He has a jockey bee. He counts 108 different cows. And sometimes Krishna plays on this flute, and the demigods become, like Brahma and Shiva, they become bewildered by hearing the sound vibration of the flute. They try to understand it's musical. Although they're very expert at music, they can't understand it. They simply bow their heads and become bewildered and nothing more.
What else happens? Birds fall from the sky, demigods become bewildered. What do the peacocks do?
They begin to dance. Uh-huh. That's the Veda Gita. The king of the peacocks comes and offers his flowers, his peacock feathers to Krishna as the king of the peacocks. Krishna is even a better peacock dancer than the peacocks are. So one thing we can go do is practice not only hearing the pastimes, we practice expanding within our consciousness so we can actually visualize them. As Prabhupada writes in the purport, when one can chant in ecstasy, this is the eighth verse of the Nectar of Instruction. When one can chant in ecstasy, that's called Smarana Vasta. So if we can expand our consciousness so we can actually three-dimensionalize, or at least start with one dimension and then go to two and then three. We'll take more and more pleasure and we'll forget about all the miseries of material existence. So one way of doing it is to take every word and try to visualize it and then put them together and try and visualize it. Just like there's two different things called Mantra City and Swarasiki. So Mantra City means that the great devotees, who are in these pastimes participating in them, or at least seeing them, they've written them down like Lord Brahma into different mantras. So we can also meditate upon them and gain the same result as they were experiencing. And Swarasiki is when the mantras, they just flow through one's consciousness just like waves, where one is situated in his own rasa, Swarasiki. So that's the stage of bhava, the pastime, or even Sakti. Pastimes just flow for our consciousness, just like a wave. Of course, this is all a pastime also. Everything is nothing. There's nothing but a pastime of Lord Chaitanya or Lord Krishna. There's only pastimes of Krishna. But when one realizes that, that's called Saurasaki. But here we can appreciate the pastime. We just take it a little at a time and try and remember it and realize it and visualize it, actually. So it says, when Krishna is seen walking on the bank of the Jamuna. So those who have been to India, they can just try and remember what the Jamuna looked like or just what Krishna looks like. So Krishna has, remember, his blackish complexion, his yellow dhoti, his peacock feather. So that's the whole meditation in itself. And then seeing him walking on the bank of the Jamuna. And then seeing the Jamuna with kandamba trees and the lotus flowers in the pond and the swans in the pond and all the different birds that are mentioned. Just seeing Krishna walking on the bank of the Jamuna with his flute. So when Krishna is seen walking on the bank of the Jamuna, he is seen nicely decorated with tilak on his forehead. So Krishna also wears tilak. And he has sandalwood pulp, which is smeared all over his body. His body is smeared with a pulp of sandalwood, and it had tulsi leaves. So we can try and smell the tulsi leaves and see the color of the sandalwood pulp. And he was also garlanded with different types of forest flowers. So there were blue and pink and red and green forest flowers on Krishna's body. And we can try and smell them. And then the bumblebees, they became mad after the treasure and sweet nectar of the atmosphere. So we can hear the sound of the bumblebees going mad after the smell of the flowers, the sandalwood pulp, the tulsi leaves, Krishna's body, which smells like. What does Krishna's body smell like?
What?
Aguru, which is made out of musk and sandalwood and sometimes some camphor. But we can try and smell Krishna's body, hear the sound of the bumblebees, see the birds in the lake, the Jamuna, blackish Jamuna with the lotus flowers in the lake, and the lilies, and hear Krishna playing upon his flute, because he's so much enchanted by the sound of the bumblebees that he begins to play upon his flute, and the combined sounds become so sweet to hear that the aquatic birds, so there's the ducks, the swans, the cranes, they stop swimming and flying and become stunned. So you can see all the birds stopping swimming and flying and becoming stunned. And then they close their eyes and enter into a trance meditation worship of Krishna. So we go over that again and again and try to see it within our minds and try to listen to it, try and smell different flowers and hear the sounds of the birds and the peacocks, try to hear Krishna's flute, trying to hear the sound of the bumblebees. Then everything, all these sounds become experienced. It's not that it's just like some idle meditation, but it's actually transcendental meditation. TM. Transcendental meditation. So this transcendental meditation is real. It's not something to be imagined. Just like etat sam sushitam brahmams traya tapatraya tikitaham. This is the actual remedy for all our problems, is this meditation. And the more we dovetail everything in Krishna's service, then the more deeply we'll be able to enter into this type of meditation. And the whole material world will become the spiritual world, and the spiritual world will be realized by us. That we'll see that there's nothing but devotion to Krishna, but it's only been diminished due to people's forgetfulness. But everyone is actually devoted either to Krishna or to his energies, but there's nothing but devotion to Krishna. The whole world is full of Krishna singing, but everyone just understands it in different ways. Everyone is dancing with Krishna, but those who are dancing with Krishna's maya, they're dancing in forgetfulness of Krishna. And those who are dancing in harmony with Krishna, they're dancing Krishna's rasa dance. I I say anything else, he'll ask me to tell another story. Actually, that's quite an amazing chapter, because that chapter is repeated twice in the Krishna book. I mean, just like in the Bhagavad Gita, there are like three verses that are repeated twice. Does anyone know the three verses that are repeated twice in Bhagavad Gita?
One of them.
What's that?
Manmana.
That's one of them, yes. Another one? How many verses are similar, but the two are actually practically repeated verbatim. Shayaswadamabhiguna para dharmas manustidat. Swedane idanam para dharma bhiyat ayad. Para bar. Para dharma bhayavaha. That's repeated twice. Anything else?
That is we run to the perfect.
Yeah, Krishna repeats that again in the 18th chapter, I guess, part of the summary. Bhakti mam abhijananti yavanyas chasmitattaha tato mam tattato gyatva vishite taranantaram. Bhakti Twanayas Akya Aham Evam Vidor Jana Drastin Gyatam Tatatena Praveshtum Chaparantapa. Only by unalloyed devotional service can it be understood as I am, and thus can you enter into the mysteries of my understanding. So, in the Krishna book, this chapter is repeated twice. One, the song of the gopis, the other is Krishna, the sound of the flute. Just three chapters back, probably the same thing, where the gopis are describing how Krishna and Balaram enter the forest, that's the most wonderful thing for the eyes to see, Krishna and Balaram herding the cows into Vrindavan forest. And there they describe how when Krishna plays his flute, the wives of the demigods, their hearers become loosened, their tight dresses become slackened, all the effects of Krishna playing on his flute. So practically this chapter is very similar. They're all describing about Krishna and Balaram, the effects that they have. The cows, they're engaged in sucking milk from their mother, but they become stunned and just tears glide from their eyes. Demigods in space, they stop their airplanes and they become stunned. And the river Jamuna, it tries to embrace Krishna with its waves, but it becomes frustrated. And cowherd boys, how they walk in the forest with Krishna, and all the trees, they hang their fruits down, trying to touch Krishna's lotus feet. And how the demigods, when Krishna's walking home at night, they all come and they greet him. They all line the paths to greet him. And the best of the demigods, they offer their prayers to him. Krishna walks into Vrindavan at night. He appears to be fatigued. He slowly tries to relieve the separation of the resident Vrindavan. He walks very slowly, like an elephant, and slowly enters into his house. Upon his arrival, the residents forget about the scorching heat of the day. Such pastimes and activities of the Krishna, remembered by the gopis during his absence from Vrindavan, they give us some idea of Krishna's attraction. Bees, the animals, the gopis, everyone, everything is attracted to Krishna. That is the perfect description of Krishna's attraction. The example of the gopis is very instructive, that everyone, everything can become completely happy by loving Krishna. By constantly chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, remembering Krishna's transcendental pastimes, one could become perfectly fixed in Krishna consciousness, and thus make his life sublime and fruitful. What did happen to those birds?
Manifold.
They fell from the material world back to the spiritual world. They fell up. They were Osbirds. So So when they fell down, they actually went up. They're on the underside of the world. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Krishna Bhakti ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Purjan Bru ki jai. Kargatarini Bru ki jai. Samaveda Bhakti Vrindi ki. Prasadam ki. Those birds ki. This will try. Yeah. Well, actually, in that Vila Passana, first it said that when Krishna played one, it sounded like Krishna swooped again so sweet to hear that the aquatic birds like the ducks, the cranes, and the swans stopped swimming and flying became stuck.
It sat in the trees.
The
ears popped to the side with their eyes closed, just listening
like crazy. That's true, that's
also.
Drinking in the nectar.
Cups. Drinking the nectar.
Hey.
That means everyone takes this out of now.
Vrindavan Temple here? Yeah? Book is similar to Ananda Vrindavan
Temple.
Books I read, and I know the comments. Thakur's expresses Krishna's sweetness and the niceness of the
Kavitana.